from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Happy football season, everybody. It is officially here. We get the start of our local, anyway, college football season tonight as KU is in action. And what should be a thrilling affair with Lindenwood. Maybe not, but we'll get you ready for the game anyway. We're pumped that it is football season. KU plays tonight. We'll have you all covered. We'll also be getting ready for K-State's opener this weekend. We will have our buddy Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider from GoPowerCat.com, on the program today to help us do that top of the next hour. We've got all sorts of good stuff coming your way today. Another significant, I think, move for the Kansas City Chiefs made yesterday to the roster. So we'll have that on tap. A very strange, but in the aftermath, series that you'd be happy about if you're a Royals fan with the Guardians. But we'll talk about the series finale there and no time to rest as you get maybe an even tougher test coming this week, starting tonight in Houston. We'll go through all of those things. We've got two giveaways for you today. Cody Jinks fans, Outlaw Country, Red Dirt Country fans, get ready for an opportunity to win some tickets to see him. And Jason Boland at Intrust Bank Arena on November 23rd. We'll give away some tickets there a little bit later. We'll give away some HTO, iced tea and coffee. So lots of fun stuff going on today for you here. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good to be here. Excited to get ready for the first college football game that impacts us here locally tonight. And then, of course, K-State this weekend. It's football season. Ready to go. It seems like today's like the last hot day, like really hot summer feeling like day. We'll get cooler temperatures and time for football season to kick off and the holiday weekend and all of that. So, man, I'm pumped up. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, it's going to be, I wait outside with my kids for the bus and it is warm. We'll say that. Like I couldn't believe how hot it felt. So stay cool out there, everybody. I think you get a little breeze later today that should help, but yeah, it cools way off and then, you know, maybe we're a little bit back to normal. It's been a little warm, but look, hope everybody gets some rain. Tommy, we've got all kinds of things happening. So we'll dig into it a little bit later. The Chiefs add Samaje Perine yesterday. I think that's significant. So that's the move they made yesterday. But let's start with the Royals, and we'll get to KU talk as well as we make our way through a little probably closer to the end of the show. The Royals, just throw your hands up in the air sometimes with baseball. What do we talk about coming into that series? Middle of the bullpen, you know, outside of the very back end has really let the Royals down lately. Cleveland comes in with one of the better bullpens in baseball. So, of course, you get into the series and it's the middle of the bullpen that strengthens and leads the way to the Royals taking the first three. They were in position to make it a sweep, and then the back end of the bullpen can't hold it together with a fairly large lead. Although I will say yesterday in the game where Urcig, you know, gave up the run, and all the hit, there were, I counted four plays that should have been made defensively, at minimum three. I think it was the defense that let the Royals down yesterday more than the pitching, because they could have been out of that inning no problem if they just I don't know. I don't know what was going on. The Bobby Witt Jr. play where he jumped up in the air, I thought he could have made that. I'm not going to say he should have made that one, but the two fly balls to the outfield and the ball that Freddie Freeman like hit by, those should have been plays that are made and normally probably would be. So I don't know what was going on there, but at the end of the day, they took 3 of 4 in Cleveland.
You know, that is 100% not on Lucas Ersig. And, you know,
he looked good.
He
right?
did. And there were, in fact, I think I saw a stat after the game that all four of the hits that he gave up, I think all had exit velocities under 80 miles per hour. So like they, none of them were hard hit balls. You know, they're just sometimes, you know, you hit it where they ain't. I mean, that's kind of where it is. And that's kind of what the Guardians did to get back in the game. Honestly, that whole situation. Yeah, the defense let them down in a couple of moments. But more than anything, that's just a result of the way the first three games played out. You know, Quatrero, I think in a normal situation, probably wouldn't send Michael Wacha back out to pitch the seventh because Wacha looked tired. He looked tired. But before that game, the first three games of the series, the starters had only given you 10 innings in those three games. And so the bullpen had to have been gassed. If you think Wacha was tired, and he was, the bullpen absolutely was
without
depleted.
Without a day off.
Without a day off. Exactly. Yeah. And you play a doubleheader, you know, on Monday, and then you're right back into a game on Tuesday with a quick turnaround with a day game on Wednesday. Like the bullpen absolutely was gassed. And that's why, I mean, I know that it was, you know, kind of a high leverage situation, but in an ideal world, you're not putting Lucas Ersig out there in the seventh inning. He's going to be the ninth inning guy. So that's all a result of the way the first three games in the series had played out. And honestly, I saw, you know, Matt Quatrero get some criticism online with the decision to send Michael Wacha back out in the seventh inning. And like, I don't really blame him because what other option do you have at that point?
No.
Your starter's tired, but what, I mean, your bullpen is depleted.
He made the right decision. Okay. Like, he made the right decision because Ersig should have had them out of that jam. We'll give him one run there. You know, like we'll give him one. But that, again, it wasn't the decision's fault. It was the defense not making a couple of plays' fault. Quatrero made the right decision. And it does bring up an interesting point. Where is Ersig the most valuable? Now, this isn't just this is a philosophical question as much as anything else. It's not just the Royals. Where do you use your best late inning pitcher? Do you chisel out their role into the ninth inning, or do you use them when you need them the most? There was not going to be a more high leverage spot in that game than that moment he came in the game. We're baseball guys, so we think about these things way too much, right? Casual baseball fans don't really care, probably. I think about this one all the time. I've always wondered why you don't use your best pitcher in your most vulnerable moment. Because that moment in the seventh inning, if you're going to win that game, will be the most high leverage point the rest of the way. So I like the way that Quatrero has utilized Ersig that way. Is it traditional? No, but I don't think the Royals have a traditional bullpen. And I think where I've landed on that philosophical question, because a long time ago, I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Just use your best pitcher when you need them the most. I was like dead set on that. And like, that's the way to do it. But then, you know, you grow a little bit and then you think like, okay, well, the Yankees built an empire on chiseling out a seventh, eighth, and ninth inning role. And then I think back to the Texas Rangers, who I follow. They made the World Series in 2010 and 2011, largely because they could shut down seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. Then I go and I cover two World Series with the Royals, in which the strength of those teams was being able to shut down seven, eight, nine. So now these days in life, like, I see the value in that. Shortening the game, psychological warfare, all those things, I think it has value. But you got to be able to do it. And right now, the Royals can't do that. They don't have a 7 and 8 to get to 9 that allows you to do that, where essentially those teams I mentioned had 3 closers on their team. The Royals have 1, and it's Ersig. And then they have a bunch of other guys that can be handy. So I do think the rest of the way, as we look at this, that is probably the best path for the Royals, to use Ersig that way. Let him be the guy that comes in when you are up against the wall. I don't care if it's the fifth inning, Tommy. I don't care what inning it is, quite frankly. if your starter is on the ropes and the other team has a chance to put you away or take a lead like they did last night, that's when Hrsic needs to come into the game. And so the decision was fine. Cotrero made the right decision. Hrsic should have gotten them out of that jam if the defense doesn't let them down and we're not having this conversation. Now, they could have blown the game a little bit later, but Hrsic would have given them multiple innings last night had he held on there. So it's an interesting thing. But yeah, they won 3 of 4. I will say this, though. I don't want to make it all roses on winning 3 of 4, even though that's fantastic. It does feel a little bit now, and this is only because of the way things played out, like a missed opportunity to not put your foot on the throat of Cleveland and really stagger them coming. I mean, the difference in being swept at home and losing 3 of 4 is a difference, especially in that fourth game when you trailed it and it sure looked like the Royals were going to get the sweep. That maybe gives Cleveland a little bit of energy to be able to come back like that. And again, we're looking way too deep.
Yeah, I disagree. I disagree with that. I mean,
but it was a missed opportunity. They could have had first place coming out of
but
that.
But at the same time, though, going into the series, I think that most folks probably would have been at the very bare minimum content with the split. So you take the series, and sure, you don't close out the final game on getaway day to sweep them at home. And yeah, from a momentum standpoint, yeah, that's important. That's
a little
great.
Bit, maybe.
But I don't think that it's anything that will come back to hurt the Royals down the stretch, I don't think.
I mean, I guess you see if it's decided by a game.
Sure.
I'll just say this. If Cleveland came out in game four and just kind of shut you down and beat you, let's say like 5-6-0, 5-6-1, I wouldn't care about that. This one felt just a little. This one stings a little bit because you had them.
I mean,
on
you don't
the ropes.
Think getting
like
you don't think getting shut out in the finale of that series
wouldn't have
been a little bit deflating. Really? I mean, because
not like letting them come back and beat you after you had them on the ropes with your top dog on the mound.
The context is important. Context is important. I think that I know Cleveland came back and won the game. But again, you have to have the context of how they came back and won the game. And
yeah.
I know you're probably more putting it squarely on the shoulders of the defense. And there were maybe a couple of plays that they would like to have back. But some of it was fluky, honestly. Like, I don't put all of the blame on the defense. Sometimes, Cleveland, the other team just hits it where you're not. And that just happens.
Oh, I can get on board with that.
I think
the two fly balls to the outfield should have been
sure,
caught.
But I think it was overall, I think it was ended up being a fluky loss for the Royals. And going back to the point about the bullpen, I want to be clear. I'm not in, disagreement with the decision to bring in Lucas Hrsic in the seventh inning. I just, in an ideal situation, that's not where Cotrero would like to use him, I don't think. So you're not in an ideal situation with the way that the series had played out prior to yesterday. And so I think that dictated a lot of it. And one thing that I've got to do as I'm looking at this team and assessing the Royals down the stretch and into the postseason, and that I think a lot of fans need to do, is forget about the way the Royals bullpen was the last time they were in this spot in 2015. Because in 2014, they had a lockdown bullpen with those roles carved out. I mean, think about guys like Greg Holland and Wade Davis, where it was automatic. If you could get the game to the bullpen, the Royals had one of, if not the best, elite lockdown bullpens in Major League Baseball, and they were a large factor in the Royals winning a championship. That is not this team. And so as we get down the stretch and as we get into potentially postseason play for the Royals, I know at least I have to constantly remind myself this is not the 2014 and 2015 right. Royals that have that kind of lockdown bullpen where you just know you can hand it over to a couple of guys and it doesn't matter who you necessarily give it to in what inning, they've got their roles carved out and they're going to lock the other team down.
It is a fascinating thing to think about. The other thing, too, real quick, on I am in no way disappointed in the series. It was tough to let him off the hook because the Royals lost Lorenzen to the 15-day IL. We haven't even mentioned that. And Reagan's left his start also injured. So all the things considered in the series, 3 out of 4 is even better. But to the Hrsic thing, it would be one thing. If Hrsic would have come out last night and got shelled, I'd say, okay, don't do that again. Hrsic was fine yesterday. He made his pitches. In fact, I thought he did an incredible job considering the circumstances. He should have got out of the inning. I think for this team, I would, if I had to make a bet on it, I would bet that Cotrero keeps using him that way. 7, 8, 9 highest leverage spot. If the game's on the line and it's the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning, I think that's where we're going to see Urcic. Because the reality is, who would you rather see? They don't even have a specialist right now that you can, I mean, Long has been pretty good, right? Long has been, he's been good. We'll call it good. And then Bubic is more get you there kind of guy to me. I just don't know that they, and Schreiber's been effective, but his stuff isn't played. I mean, MacArthur is the only other guy to me, stuff-wise, when you watch him pitch, that looks like, you know what, you got basically like, you got to have a strikeout here. He to me looks like the only other, he and Urcic are like the only guys that can do that. And I just don't trust him at this point. So I'm not bringing him in that kind of a spot unless I absolutely have to. I think it's Urcic. And you can just try to make your way through the clean innings after that. I think that's what they're going to do. And I think it's the right call.
I think that that's probably the direction. But I'm sure that if Matt Cotrero was being honest, he doesn't love that that's the direction that he has to take.
Oh, no, for sure. Yeah, no. So, I think he wants to be traditional.
Yeah, you've got to use your best pitcher at this point without having a lot of reinforcements in that bullpen. You've got to use your best pitcher when the situation dictates it, as opposed to just a consistent ninth inning closer type role. The other thing that I think is really important to point out, you know, the Royals, you absolutely cannot overlook the 4-game set that's on tap for the Royals starting tonight and running through the weekend against the Astros on the road, by the way. But you get Cleveland again back at home for 3 more games starting on Monday. The Royals, with the taking 3 out of 4, they've already clinched the season series against Cleveland. Like it's 7-3 in the 10 games that they've gone head-to-head. So even if the Guardians sweep the Royals at home next week, probably not going to happen, but even if they do, the Royals still take the overall season series against Cleveland. So to me, again, that lends a little bit more credibility to the fact that even though they didn't get the sweep yesterday against Cleveland, you know you've clinched the season series. And so, sure, at the very end of the season, the AL Central may come down to 1 game, and you would probably wish that you had that one back yesterday. But you can't, even if the Royals get swept next week by Cleveland, you can't ask for a whole lot more. They won the series overall against the Guardians this entire season, and that's the team that they've been chasing in first place the entire year.
And Houston's not hot right now by any means. They've only won 4 out of the last 10, but I am concerned about the Houston offense against the struggling rotation for the Royals lately. I am concerned about that in that series. I think they're going to have to hit a lot, and they can. That's what, you know, that's part of what they do. We'll get more into that opener here tonight. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Let's go to the Chiefs next. This Samaje Perine move is really interesting. So we'll get into that. They added a talented pass catching running back. What does that mean? How impactful will that be for this team? 869-1240, the IHOP hotline is open for you. Excited to bring back It's All You Can Eat Pancakes deal through September 15th. Tim Fitzgerald will join us there in just a little bit. We've got a couple of giveaways for you. And we want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for bringing us coffee each and every morning here on KFH and all the Odyssey family of stations. It's All Brockton Caster, a little Chiefs talk when we come back. Everybody, Sports Daily here on KFH. We've been talking Royals, all our baseball coverage on KFH, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. By the way, Royals tonight, 7 o'clock against the Astros. You'll hear it right here on KFH, or you can find it for free on the Odyssey app. All right, Tommy, let's talk about this Samaje Perine move real quick, and then we'll close the hour with some KU preview here. I think this is pretty significant. If you're talking about a need, now Isaiah Pacheco fantasy owners aren't going to like this, but I think Perine slides in and probably immediately takes some third down work. He is not just a guy that can catch the ball. He's a guy that's been one of the best in football at catching the ball and being a pass catching receiver that we've seen in the league the last two or three years. Feels like a bit of a weapon here for the Chiefs. Now, I don't know. Have you seen, Tommy, a corresponding roster move yet? Because I have not.
Yeah, no, I haven't. And I know they made another trade yesterday with the Cowboys to acquire a tight end.
They made that one Hendershot. Right before cuts.
So I don't know if there was a roster move that would impact this signing.
They made that trade right before they cut the roster down to 53. So they made that trade, then they made their cuts, and they're carrying four tight ends. The Perrien trade yesterday makes me wonder if they keep Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which wouldn't make a ton of sense to me because, you know, I don't know that, like, they don't need to carry four running backs, and Carson Steele is very clearly on the roster. There's no way Perrien takes his spot. I mean, maybe they do carry four and they trim somewhere else. I just don't see the upside to carrying Clyde Edwards-Helaire now when you've got your backup to Pacheco and Carson Steele, and now Samaje Perrien can come in as a specialist for you. Maybe they'll keep four. I don't know, but I haven't seen that corresponding roster move. If anybody out there see it, let us know.
Yeah, and I think that when the roster cuts, you know, officially came down on Tuesday, and I know I wasn't on the show yesterday, and I'm sure you and Paul discussed it. When the roster cuts came down, my initial thought was, yeah, there's nobody currently on the roster at all that even would have been on the bubble to be cut that I felt like was a true threat to take a spot from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, they had Denaric Prince. Cut him. They had Lewis Reese.
Carson Steele would have been that guy.
But Carson Steele, I think it solidified a roster spot even by not needing to move Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and that's what happened. Gotcha. Like, I think that both of them, and they absolutely were, you know, not cut, but even going into it, I thought, okay, Carson Steele's on the roster, but I don't think that's going to bump out CEH. So that was kind of what I was thinking about. Was there wasn't anybody else. Three. Yeah, they needed to carry three, and there wasn't another one that I felt like could have, you know, taken over and kicked off Clyde Edwards-Helaire from the active roster. That changes when Samaje Perrien gets signed by the Chiefs. And one of the things that he brings to the table that really makes it, I think, even more of an indication that they'll potentially make a change with Clyde Edwards-Helaire is that Samaje Perrien is a pass-catching running back. He can catch passes out of the backfield. That's what he's done his entire career. So you mentioned third down, and absolutely, but he's versatile in that way. They were really looking for somebody, I think, out of the backfield to be able to do that, considering they didn't re-sign Jerick McKinnon, and Jerick McKinnon could do that sort of thing. They needed that type of running back out of the backfield to be able to also catch passes if needed. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, when he was drafted in the first round out of LSU, I distinctly remember that was the biggest selling point on him was that he is a pass-catching running back. And he's done that a little bit in his tenure in Kansas City, but not at the level that I think a lot of people were expecting him to do. So again, I think that's an indictment of how they feel about Clyde Edwards-Helaire that they go out and they sign Samaje Perrien.
I do too. That's why I'm waiting for the corresponding roster move. They need three running backs. I don't think they need four if they're going to keep Hardman and Sky Moore on the team as potential return men. Then you don't need to use that roster spot there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire isn't going to just get like Clyde Edwards-Helaire is very replaceable, and I don't mean that like offensively. He just hasn't been that good. He's not dynamic. He's not the runner Carson Steele. Carson Steele is a clone of Isaiah Pacheco, it looks like, in the way that they run. That was a revelation in training camp. Such a nice find for them. Samaje Perrien gives him another wrinkle, and he's better at what they probably had Clyde on the roster to do. He's better at it. And he's been a far more productive NFL player. I think it makes the most sense to just keep carrying through. I just haven't seen that move, but that happened yesterday. It does add a weapon to the offense. I mean, it does. Like they'll figure out a way to use Perrien, and it is a nice get for Kansas City. I'm not sure why Denver was out on him, but it's fine. I mean, it does add to the offense for Kansas. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. That is, you know, Pacheco is fine at that. And look, Pacheco may keep developing, and they may just Perrien may just be a depth piece because they want Pacheco to catch the ball. But the reality is, we know or at least I think, Pacheco's likelihood to stay healthy for 17 games is low. But even if it's Perine slash, you know, Steele equaling Pacheco, if he misses time, you like it. It's just a move that makes a lot of sense, and it feels like it kind of fell into their lap a little bit.
Here's the other thing, too, to keep in mind. If you're comparing Perine and Edwards-Helaire over the last two seasons, first off, Perine is averaging almost a yard more per carry than Edwards-Helaire has over the span of the last couple of seasons. But in the passing game, specifically, Perine caught 88 passes for 742 yards and four touchdowns in the last 2 years. Edwards-Helaire, in the same time span, caught 34 passes for 339 yards and four touchdowns. So almost, 400 more yards in the last two seasons in receiving for Samaje Perine. And, you know, I think that what makes that even more remarkable is the fact that if you think about last season with the Chiefs, the Patrick Mahomes passing game was built on those short and intermediate passes and passes out of the backfield and things like that. So you would have thought that if there was going to be a situation for a running back on the Chiefs roster to get a good amount of yards and catches and touchdowns, it would have been last year, and it probably should have been Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but it really wasn't. And so this is definitely an upgrade in the running back room. And I don't know, again, if they're going to make a move with Clyde Edwards-Helaire or if they're going to carry four running backs or what that will look like. But if you would have told me a week ago that the Chiefs potentially would be swapping out Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Kadarius Toney for Juju Smith-Schuster and Samaje Perine, I would have taken that every single day. And those are both clear upgrades in the wide receiver room, and that may ultimately end up being where we're at for week number one.
It's a good addition. We'll see what the corresponding roster move is. I don't know when that has to happen. I haven't seen it yet. I'm sure there's a moment it has to happen, and we'll let you know if it does in the next little bit or whenever it does in the coming days. If you want to chime in on that, you can on our video streams as well. We got you, of course, on 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X. Let's set up our first giveaway, then we'll take a break, and we will come back and we'll talk some KU football tonight. Let's do Cody Jinks in the first hour today. Don't miss out on your chance to see him at Interest Bank Arena. Jason Boland is also a part of that show. It's November 23rd. All you got to do to win, you got a couple more chances this week. Text the keyword Cody, C-O-D-Y, to the short code 20357. That's Cody to 20357. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We'll come back. KU fans, here we go. It is the start of the regular season. We'll look at the bets. We'll look at expectations. All of it when we return on Sports Daily. Back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Got our Cody Jinks giveaway going here. Cody to the short code 203.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
5-7, that text is the way to win those. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club, a great place. Tommy, if you're looking for a place to go watch the game tonight, you could go catch the first half, have a beer over at Crestview. If you'd like, they'll have the game on, I'm sure.
You know, that's a really good idea. I didn't even think about that. I might have to mosey on over there and, you know, enjoy the game.
Yeah, check them out. More than great golf, it is great golf, and it is about to be the greatest golfing weather. Let's talk about KU. Here, Tommy, look, it's Lindenwood. It's a 45.5 point spread. I don't know what to do with these. I think I put them in, you know, one of those early season wacky parlays to cover, but who knows? Like, I have no idea what to expect in the game. We talked to Shreya Slotta yesterday about the game. And I think his two places that he really wants to watch are the offensive and defensive lines. Can they get to the place? You know, the thought is they've been maybe more athletic, more physical. They brought in the big time transfer out of A&M, all those things. So he's watching there. And then I hate to say this because we talk about it all the time. He also wants to see Jalen Daniels play through and be able to stay healthy this year. And it is a big question for him on KU. I mean, it will be nice. I don't want to see Jalen Daniels get hit, but you kind of want to see Jalen Daniels get hit. You know what I mean? Like be able to just bounce right up, run around a little bit, see if they, you know, throttle him at all. It'll be kind of hard to tell in this game though, Tommy, won't it? Like you don't want to just dump it all out for Lindenwood in normal circumstances. But in this specific circumstance with a guy who hadn't been able to play for a while, you do kind of want to see him cut it loose and go full steam ahead. I don't know what their plan on that will be. That will be interesting to watch.
I'm less interested in Jalen Daniels cutting it loose. And not that I'm not interested. I know he can do it. And so I don't have a question in my mind about whether or not he can or will do that tonight. More than anything, it's more holistically with the offense for Kansas, because we haven't really talked about this at all. And it's really been fairly quiet about this particular situation for the last several months. This is the first game that the Jayhawks have without Andy Kotelnicki as offensive coordinator. And
they talk about K-State all the time and Colin Klein. You're
absolutely
right.
And Andy Kotelnicki is no longer with the program. And so will we see a different looking KU offense tonight? Keep in mind, a year ago, they played FCS opponent Missouri State. And if you'll recall, at halftime, it was a close game. I mean, the Jayhawks led by a touchdown at halftime against Missouri State. And, you know, eventually KU pulled away and won by quite a bit. But it was a little bit cozier than I think the fans wanted it to be, and probably Lance Leipold, too, at halftime the last time they played an FCS opponent. That is forgotten about a lot because of the way that the season went for the Jayhawks and how, you know, things were really pretty good for them. But the biggest thing about that game last year against Missouri State is that they did not have Jalen Daniels. Jalen Daniels did not play in the opener against Missouri State. And so knowing that Daniels, by all accounts, is a full go and they're going to let him loose against Lindenwood tonight, I don't have any doubt in my mind that he's going to run wild, because if that's not the game plan to get him ready to roll for more tougher opponents, then why play him at all in this game? He didn't play last year against the last FCS opponent.
I agree. I think fundamentally, and the other thing is, too, you want to see how he and Grimes fit together, Grimes' new offensive coordinator that came over from Baylor, Jeff Grimes. I agree. Like, that's what I mean. Like, in a normal circumstance, you might let up, but I don't know that I want that today, tonight. You know, you want to see Daniels and Grimes and how they mesh. You want to give them an opportunity to make their way through a whole game. Sorry, Lindenwood. It could get ugly, but the KU needs to do these things, not just because Grimes and the offense need the reps, right? They don't get preseason games, but because Jalen Daniels needs the reps too.
And I'm going to tell you right now that, you know, if Jalen Daniels comes out swinging and the Kansas offense flexes a little bit in the first half, I don't know if I would expect to see him necessarily in the second half, but what that shouldn't mean is just by default that there's something wrong with him. I just think that if they get out to a large lead and he doesn't go out there for maybe the fourth quarter, maybe at some point in the third quarter, I don't think that everybody should just jump to conclusions that, Jalen Daniels, something's going on. Absolutely. Because that's what happened every single time last year. For good reason. Yeah. But I think this is a completely different kind of situation. Is.
Yeah. If he leaves the game and winces off the field, that's one thing. Yeah. If he just, but that's the question to me. Is that even the right way to go? Or do you just let him go? And it is as much of, there's a new offensive coordinator there that, you know, that nobody has played for yet. And he's not like somebody getting a promotion, Tommy. This is an entirely new individual that came from a totally different place. What does that look like? I won't mind at all if you see this be essentially a preseason game where the starters play all the way through. I think those reps can be valuable. And, you know, and you do have to get ready. It's Illinois week two. And I don't know. I don't know much about Illinois. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't. I'll lean on our insiders and the people that dig in and Leipold and the coaches and what they say. But I know they're a Big Ten football team, and I know that, you know, they'll be dangerous, and they have had good teams in the past. And so I would like to see KU not let off the gas at all in this game, maybe in the fourth quarter, but I just want all the reps. I want all the reps for Daniels as he comes back from a serious injury. I want all the reps for Grimes as he's trying to work his way into an entirely new offense. I want all the reps for these lines to, you know, because the reality, I think, Tommy, is like if the lines are really good at KU this year, like the offensive and defensive lines are good, then that, you know, like let's call them like top of the Big 12 good. If that happens, the ceiling for KU is a Big 12 championship. And it's not just the ceiling, because that's the ceiling now, but it almost becomes the expectation needs to be contending there. Their skill guys across the board, if Jalen Daniels is healthy, who's got better skill guys in the Big 12 than KU, right? Their secondary has been one of the better secondaries for a long time, expected to be and will be. If those lines are really good, then KU's expectations alongside their schedule ought to be playing in a Big 12 championship game. Not it shifts from a maybe we could to we probably should, right? Like that's the big, and I think that's why Sharius yesterday pointed to the lines. Outside of that, and Jalen Daniels' health, there's not really a ton of questions with this team.
There is. I don't think that from a, and you mentioned the skill position players, there aren't a ton of, I think, overwhelming questions about the skill positions that much. I mean, I know that from a running back perspective, they're loaded. I don't have a lot of doubts about the wide receiver room when you've got Lawrence Arnold and Luke Grimm and Quentin Skinner all returning. Jared Casey, you know, is back this year. That there have been a couple of players that they've had to replace, but more specifically on the line. And that's really going to be, and I know that you said that Sharius, you know, yesterday really made that his priority to watch in this game tonight, is the way that especially the offensive line develops and the defensive line too. And it's probably, I think, one thing that I want to caution folks tonight, when you're playing an opponent like Lindenwood, it's not only just like what they're going to show from a playbook perspective, but it's also more than likely, let's be real, the offensive and defensive lines for KU more than likely will outclass Lindenwood's lines. And so I wouldn't get too over the top about how well those offensive and defensive lines play tonight, because the level of competition is going to be stepped up pretty quickly, and both lines are still in a little bit of a rebuilding phase right now. I think that, you know, they have the opportunity to grow, and
but they won't be tested tonight.
So, yeah. You know, before everybody like goes crazy celebrating the line play tonight, just remember who they're playing against.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think it's very fair. But you just, that's what I mean. Again, if that's the, you'd like to see them get all the reps together, right? I mean, they just, like, skill wise, you've got your backfield settled. The only question is Jalen Daniels' health, and which we're hopeful on right now. Like it is the lines. I just, these kind of games, I don't want to say they annoy me, but they kind of annoy me. Like I don't, because it's equitable to a preseason game. And it's not the same thing as Florida State playing Georgia Tech, right? Like it's not that. So where you've got two high quality, like they should beat, what's the line? 45.5. They should beat Lindenwood by 45.5, because Lindenwood shouldn't score any points on them, quite frankly. Outside of something fluky, you should cover that spread, because Lindenwood, you would hope, if you're KU, would not be able to do anything offensively. I'm excited about the game, I'll be honest, but it's because of Jalen Daniels. Like that's, for me, that's about it. I know the lines are important. We just talked about that. I just want to see Jalen Daniels play. I just want to see him be healthy. I just want to see him do the things that he has done in, you know, 2 years ago now that make us think he's a Heisman candidate. I just can't wait to see him play football again. Last year sucked in that regard. It's a great year for KU, but that part of the year sucked. Like it was tough to go through those questions every week, to wonder what was going on, to all the other distraction type bogus stuff anyway. I'm just excited that he can get out there and play football because he's one of the most exciting football players in the country.
He is. And that's why, you know, even though he's dealt with significant injuries the last two seasons, you know, he still is on preseason watch lists for the Heisman.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so
he's a top 10 Heisman candidate.
He absolutely is. And I think that there are players out there that probably have, you know, the hype and that sort of thing. But if they go down with an injury and they come back, it's not like they're reinserted at the same kind of stature that Jalen Daniels is, because I think people know his ceiling and they know that, you know, he can be a game breaking type talent and a high impact player. And that's what the Jayhawks are going to need. Can Kansas, let's just say worst case scenario, and Daniels does not make it through this season. I don't think that's going to happen, but you never know. And they have to go to one of the backups. Can they have the same kind of season they had a year ago? Yeah, I think they can, because they've got a lot of the same talent that they're returning. They return a lot of players this year, but that's not the expectation level for the Jayhawks. The expectation level for the Jayhawks this year is to win the Big 12 and to be in the 12-team CFP. And I think to do that, you are going to have Jalen Daniels.
They feel good, according to Sirius, about Isaiah Marshall, the freshman. And, of course, Cole Ballard, I think we're all optimistic about in what he's been able to do and could develop into. It's unfair, because the reality is when this all started, when this turnaround started, right, we all sort of looked at it and was like, this is because of Jalen Daniels, right? I think that's a fair statement. We all watched him play and we're like, man, this Heisman kid is the reason KU's great. Then he got hurt. And then they were still good. And then last year was like, all right, this is the year Jalen Daniels is going to take them as far as they'll go. And then he gets hurt early and he didn't play anymore. And guess what? They're still really good. So I think it's just taken a long time for us to, because of how bad it had been at Kansas, to realize it's not just Jalen Daniels. Like, they're really good all around. He is just so good. And it's been such a weird path that we continue to focus on that, as I do too. Because you think of what the sky's the limit when he's there. But it's still fine if he's not. They have been prepared, and we've seen that. They don't have Jason Bean anymore. That is a factor. But they have a couple of guys, I think, that can get them, with the talent they have spread across the board, to get there. That game tonight against Lindenwood, 7 o'clock. It is a 45.5-point spread. Have fun with that. 60.5 over under. Probably like the under 60.5 more, but again, like it's hard to,
I like to lay the points for KU, and
to lay the points, but it's because, like, in normal circumstances in these kinds of games, I would take the under, but KU may not let off ever at all, and I think that's probably the right decision based on what all the things we just talked about. But we'll be back to review it tomorrow. It will not be a game that we pick in our pick'em contest tomorrow, because it will be played tonight. And quite frankly, I'm pretty happy about that. 45-point spreads scare me a little bit. 869-1240, what do you think, KU fans? We're going to switch, talk a little K-State, get you ready for Saturday's game for the Cats. Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, joins us when we come back. It's Sports Daily rolling into hour number two. Don't go away.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nore Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nore Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nore.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number
for draft pick number one.
Let's get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.